Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our more than 1,900 fans on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. If you've not already, I encourage you to pick up a copy of my ebook, All I Needed to Know, I Learned from Columbo. And it's available for Nook, Kindle, and for the iPad. In the ebook, we take a look at the careers and history of 7 great fictional detectives, including, of course, Sherlock Holmes. And we take a look at life lessons that can be learned from these detectives. All I Needed to Know, Learn from Columbo, is available now online. And if you enjoy the book, I'd love to hear about it. But now let's get into today's episode of Sherlock Holmes. This one is The Adventure of the Three Garradams.
From New York City, the makers of Clipper Craft Clothes for Men and more than 1,200 leading retail stores from coast to coast present Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's immortal character, the world's most famous detective, Sherlock Holmes, starring John Stanley. This week's story, The Adventure of the Three Garradams.
Shall I pull up the blinds, let some sunlight into this awful room, Holmes?
No, Watson, we must have complete darkness.
Skulls on the table. Horrifying in these shadows. The ancient crumbling bones. Every sight here, every sound speaks of death.
Quiet, Watson, listen.
The front door's opening. I thought we were to be alone.
No, I'm expecting someone.
Who?
A professional murderer, Watson. Unless I'm very much mistaken, this is he coming through that front door. Are the revolver ready?
Ready.
Now, Watson!
If you want to look your best this summer, take no chances on the kind of suit you buy for warm weather wear. Be sure it's light and cool, but be doubly sure that it's so smartly tailored, so perfectly fitted, that you never look heat-crumpled. Only expert tailoring can assure that. The kind of master tailoring you get in fine Clippercraft suits. And they don't cost you a lot of money. You can buy a Clippercraft summer suit of tropical weight for as little as $33.75 to $42.50. And for that moderate price, you get a suit that will be envied by men who usually pay more, much more. You save all that money through the unique Clippercraft plan, whereby more than 1,200 independent merchants from coast to coast pool their tremendous buying power. You get the benefit. A Clippercraft spring and summer suit will help you face the summer with the confidence that goes with perfect grooming. Dr. Watson, your memoir tonight is entitled The Adventure of the Three Garradams. Well, what in the world is a Garradam?
Why, that's a gentleman's name, Mr. Harris. And the peculiarity of the name, Mr. Harris, has a great deal to do with our story. Holmes once said about this story that he didn't think in all our explorations of human complexities we had ever come upon anything more singular. It was January 1895. On Waterloo Road, at a gaming club, 2 men were playing cards.
No, you don't, Evans. That's not the card you buried in the deck.
It certainly is, Prescott.
You didn't show the 6 of clubs. You showed the 4 of diamonds. I've been playing blackjack too long to be careless about such details.
I said I showed the 4.
You're a rotten, double-dealing faker.
Why, you cheap, dirty-mouthed
tramp. You must have been cheating all along. I want my money back, every bit of it. And I want it now. Also, help me, I'll break your neck.
You know I played fair. You just want your money because you can't stand losing.
Give me that money.
I'll give you this.
Oh!
So you carry a gun, Prescott, huh? Well, if you like fireworks...
Following that exchange of shots, Roger Prescott died. And his gambling partner, Killer Evans, who'd been quicker at the draw, served 6 years in prison. It was a short sentence because he proved Prescott drew a revolver first and that he had shot in self-defense. After his term was over, Evans disappeared into the dim, fog-bound world of men released from prison. One morning in late June of 1902, I was present when Holmes had an odd visitor at the flat on Baker Street. It was this first seemingly pleasant visit that was to lead us to the discovery of a great crime.
Mr. Holmes, pray sit down, sir. You are, of course, Mr. John Garadev. May I present my colleague, Dr. Watson?
How do you do, sir?
Garadev?
As for your problem, sir, your friend, Mr. Nathan Garadev, has already invited me to be of assistance.
Yeah, so he told me. That's why I've come.
Nathan Garadev? And you're John Garadev? Brothers, perhaps, eh?
No, they're not brothers, Watson. No doubt John here will explain. It concerns this document in my hand.
Oh, Nathan sent that, did he?
He did, but with precious little explanation. If we might have a clear account from you...
In the presence of...
Of Watson, certainly. We usually work together.
Well, years ago in the United States, there was a man named Alexander Garadev.
A third Garadev? Really, I'm rather confused about this.
It's simple, Doctor. Alexander Garadev made his money in real estate. He bought land along the Arkansas River. He became fabulously wealthy. But he'd no relatives. And he developed a strange mental quirk.
Which was?
Well, he took a kind of pride in the queerness of his name. Garadev. I had a law practice then in Topeka, and there we met.
I imagine he took a liking to you, since your name was also Garadev.
Exactly, Mr. Holmes. His pet fad seemed to be to find out if there were any other Garadevs in the world. In fact, when he died, he left a very queer will.
The document I have in my hand.
That's it. You see, his property was divided into three parts. I was to have one, provided two other Garadevs were found to share the remainder.
Well, is it a considerable sum?
$5 million to each man.
Fantastic.
Yes. And since the sum was so gigantic, I set aside my practice to find two more gentlemen named Garadev. There isn't one in the United States, so I tried England.
And here in London, you found a Mr. Nathan Garadev, my client.
2 days ago, at 136 Little Rider Street. I located him with the London telephone directory.
Well, you're very fortunate. Does he have relatives?
No, none. And the will states that all three Garadevs must be adult males.
Whimsical, eh, Watson? Mr. Garadev, have you tried advertising in the agony columns of the newspapers?
Yes, I have. No replies.
It's a most curious little problem. Oh, by the way, you mentioned having come from Topeka. I had a correspondent there once, who's dead now, old Dr. Lysander Starr, who was mayor in 1890.
Oh, yes, a wonderful chap. I knew him intimately.
Really?
Intimately. Well, Mr. Holmes, we must find a third man named Garadev somewhere in the globe, or lose millions. We depend upon you, sir.
As well you may. I shall communicate any new developments to you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Well, Watson, I haven't indulged in such a conversation for a long, long time.
What do you mean?
I mean that everything Mr. John Garadev said here in this flat just now is a lie. What? Every word a lie.
What?
A brightly colored camouflage, Watson. Very deceiving. But underneath it, I wonder what hideous crime...
Dash it all, Holmes. I've permitted you to smoke your pipe and meditate long enough.
Your faculty of keeping silent at the proper moments, my dear Watson, is one of the most impressive recommendations as a companion.
Oh, thank you. Well, tell me, why did you say John Garadev died?
His English coat was frayed at the elbow and his trousers bagged at the knee with a year's wear. And yet he claims to be a provincial American recently landed in London.
Aha! Uh-huh.
He placed no advertisements in the agony columns. You know I miss nothing there.
Yes, do go on, Holmes.
There isn't any Dr. Starr in Topeka. I invented the old codger.
I see. But John claimed to have been his close friend.
Precisely. Touch our Mr. John Garadev where you will, he's false.
How do we arrive at the truth, Holmes?
By visiting the other Garadev, Nathan, at Little Rider Street, as quickly as a carriage will take us. This is Nathan Garadev's residence, Watson.
Yes, I'll ring, Holmes.
We begin on firm ground. Nathan Garadev is indeed this gentleman's real name.
How could you know that, Holmes, before we've even met?
Observe, Watson, the brass nameplate by the door, especially its discolored surface. up some years.
Oh, yes, of course. Now that you've pointed out.
Yes. What is it?
Mr. Nathan Garadamp, I am Sherlock Holmes. This is my friend, Dr. Watson.
Oh, do come in, gentlemen.
Thank you.
This way, gentlemen. This way.
Fascinating room, sir.
Do you find it so? I'm very proud of my collection.
Yes, incredible number of cupboards and cabinets.
That's my butterfly collection where you're standing, Doctor. In this case, gentlemen, my ancient coins. In that cabinet, the skulls of prehistoric men, flint instruments, early weapons.
I dare say I've never seen so singular a collection.
My doctor lectures me about never going out. But why should I, when there's so much to hold me here?
You never go out? Oh,
very seldom, Mr. Holmes. I'm not too strong. My research is very absorbing. You may well imagine what a terrific shock, pleasant but terrific it was, when I learned of the will and my good fortune. If we find just one more man named Garadamp, each of us receives $5 million.
Yes. Have you any specific plans for spending the money?
Oh, I shall spend it enriching my collection.
Tell me, when did John Garadamp first speak to you?
Last Tuesday.
Did he ask for money?
No.
Do you know of any ulterior motive he might have?
None.
You told him we were coming here today.
I did.
Holmes, what are you driving at?
Have you any articles of great value in this collection?
Oh, it's a good collection, but not very valuable.
I see. How long have you been in these rooms?
Nearly 5 years. Now I see. You imagine I'm not mentally well. You see my collections, my fossils, bones, my skulls, my dusty room. You're suspicious. You picture me as a child, locked forever in a room with his toys. That is what you two gentlemen are thinking. I know. And you're saying to yourselves, he's insane. What's he up to? Is he scheming with this John Garadamp? Why does every sight and every sound in this room speak of death?
Here's a friendly message from the fine independent merchants who serve you with Clippercraft clothes. They say, come in soon and have first choice of their outstanding summer suits. Come in soon before the sudden heat wave creates a buying rush. They want to give you the very best in service, in selection, and in alterations that may be necessary. They want your new Clippercraft suit to be an advertisement of your good judgment in clothes. And you certainly display good judgment when you buy from the fine local store that sells famous Clippercraft suits at only $45. The exceptional quality of Clippercraft clothes is guaranteed by the Clippercraft label in every suit and sport jacket, the trademark derived from the staunch Clipper ships that's established honest New England quality everywhere in the world. You can always rely on Clippercraft clothes and the store that proudly sells them. That's why men who know insist on Clippercraft clothes bearing the Clippercraft label. So be sure to visit the Clippercraft store in your city.
These leading stores in the metropolitan area are proud to add their names to Clippercraft in your suits, sport jackets, and tropicals. In Manhattan, Saks 34th, Broadway at 34th, John Wanamaker's Men's Stores, Broadway at 8th, and 67 Liberty Street. In Brooklyn, Abram and Strauss. In Newark, New Jersey, Boulevard Men's Shop, Kresge, Newark. And in Jamaica, the B&B Clothes Shop, 16408 Jamaica Avenue.
Dr. Watson, you and Mr. Holmes were visiting old Mr. Nathan Garadamp at his very frightening rooms.
Yes, Mr. Harris. And Garadamp had a wild gleam in his eye as he ranted on about himself and about how suspicious he thought we were.
You've exaggerated our viewpoint, Nathan Garadamp.
Have I? I hope so. I hope you trust me. Actually, I'm a gentle and very innocent and rather exhausted old man. Now, who might that be?
I have it!
Well, Mr. John Garadamp,
Mr. Holmes, I've found the third man.
Have you really?
I hoped you'd be here, Mr. Holmes. Dr. Watson, to hear the good news. Look.
Where is the third man? Who is he? How'd you find him?
This newspaper.
May I examine it?
$5 million. Each of us collects $5 million.
What's in that newspaper? May I see it?
I've made inquiries in Birmingham. My agent there sent me this advertisement from a local paper. Read it.
Let me see.
Howard Garideb, constructor of agricultural machinery, binders, plows, farmers' carts, buckboards, other appliances. Estimates for artesian wells. Apply Grosvenor Buildings, Aston.
You see? Another man named Garideb.
Glorious! Glorious! I am rich. My collection will be the most magnificent in all history.
Now we must see this thing through. I've written to this Howard Garideb and told him that you, Nathan, will see him at his office in Birmingham tomorrow afternoon.
You want me to see him, John?
Well, wouldn't it be wise, Mr. Holmes? I'm sort of, well, really a nondescript American, but Nathan here is a Britisher with solid references. Look here, Nathan. All you must do is see the man, explain about the will, and get an affidavit of his existence.
Oh, dear. I must leave this room. I haven't been out in years.
Yes, but you can be at Birmingham in a little over 2 hours, and I could follow you if there's any trouble.
I'm not used to travel. I just know my room. The world outside is another world. I'd be confused, afraid.
I would urge you to go, Mr. Nathan.
You would, Mr. Holmes?
But the poor chap is elderly and infirm, Holmes.
I believe the journey might be good for him, eh, John Garideb?
Oh, without a doubt. Look here, Nathan. I've come all the way from America, so... Well, it's little enough to ask you to go 100 miles so as we might collect $5 million.
Will you go to Birmingham, Mr. Nathan?
Yes. I'll go.
Fine. I'll call tomorrow and see you after Birmingham. Good night, gentlemen. A joyful good night.
Mr. Garideb.
Yes, Mr. Holmes.
I should like to examine your collection more closely.
I could take you around now if you have time.
Unfortunately, I have not. But while you're away tomorrow, would you object to my visiting these quarters?
Oh, not at all. Mrs. Saunders in the basement will let you in with her key.
Excellent. Oh, by the way, who is your house agent?
His house agent, Holmes?
Holloway and Steele in the Edgware Road. But why?
I was wondering if this house was Queen Anne or Georgian.
Oh, Georgian, beyond doubt.
Really, I should have thought it a little earlier. However, goodbye, Mr. Garideb, and may you have every success in Birmingham.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes, and Dr. Watson. Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir. Well, it's astonishing they found the third man for the will, eh, Holmes?
Is it, Watson? Did you notice nothing curious about the advertisement John Garideb showed us in that newspaper?
Jove, yes, I did. The word plow was misspelled.
Yes, P-L-O-W, but we spell it P-L-O-U-G-H. It was bad English, but good American. Then the buckboards. That is American also. And artesian wells are commoner with them than with us. It's a typical American advertisement, but supposedly from an English firm. What do you make of that?
Well, the same liar, this John Garideb, inserted the advertisement himself. Yes, but then there isn't any Howard Garideb in Birmingham at all.
Quite.
Nathan's off on a futile trip, Holmes.
Precisely. I permitted him to go ahead, though. Deliberately.
But why? Why, Holmes?
You'll see, Watson. You'll see.
Holmes, where were you all morning?
I must warn you, Watson, I have more information. It points to an even greater menace than I thought. If you don't wish to continue...
I shall see this through at your side, Holmes.
Very well. I have identified this John Garideb.
Who is he?
He is Killer Evans of sinister and murderous reputation.
Killer Evans?
Yes, I've seen Lestrade at Scotland Yard. I found this John Garideb's face in the Rogues Gallery. He's a native of Chicago. Shot 3 men in the States. He escaped through political influence. Came to London in 1893. Shot a 4th man over cards in a gaming club at Waterloo Road in January 1895.
A bloodthirsty madman.
The man he killed at the gaming club was a Roger Prescott.
Yes?
I've also been to the house agents, Watson. Nathan Garideb's weird quarters were occupied before, by him, by a man who answers the late Prescott's description.
I see. John Garideb murdered the man who once lived in Nathan's quarters. And the next link?
Take this revolver, Watson. This afternoon, as I arranged with Nathan Garideb, we shall ask his housekeeper to admit us to his room. And there, Watson, we shall learn the terrible secret of the 3 Garidebs.
Shall I pull up the blinds? Allow some sunlight in, Holmes? This room of Nathan's so dark.
No, Watson.
Skulls. Horrifying. The shadows. Ancient crumbling bones here. This whole place, you know, so musty as the air of a graveyard. Why have you told me to be quiet? Why don't you look about?
Because I'm expecting someone.
Who?
John Garideb, alias Killer Evans.
Well, how do you know he'll come? Why should he?
Watson, the whole of this story about the three Garidebs, the will, the 5 million they'd inherit, is an invention. An invention of the killers.
An invention?
Yes.
There isn't any Alexander Garideb who died and left such a will?
There is not. John has woven his plot with remarkable cunning.
But what did he want?
That is what we're here to find out. There's nothing whatever to do with Nathan. This will was a device to send Nathan to Birmingham. John required such a device. Nathan was a fanatic about never leaving this room.
But what's in this room?
At first, I thought Nathan might have something valuable in his collection, something worth the attention of a criminal like John. The fact that Prescott, the gambler, lived here years ago points to a deeper reason.
Wait, hear that?
Yes, it's a key. Someone's at the front door.
Quickly, let's hide behind that cupboard at the end of the room.
Yes, right you are.
Revolver ready.
Yes, ready.
Shh. The front door's opening.
It's John Garideb.
Yes. Watch him.
He's pushed the table to one side. Pull back the carpet. Now he's using a tool to pry up the boards of the floor. He's lit a candle. Holmes, there's a trap door under that carpet. Leads to something below there. Garideb's going down.
Now, Watson, we'll seize him.
Pleasant to see you again, Mr. Garideb.
Holmes!
If you look just behind you, you'll see that my revolver is pointed directly at your head.
I believe it might be more accurate were we to dispense with your fictitious name and address you as Killer Evans.
Well, I guess you've been too much for me, Holmes, eh? Yes, played me for a sucker from the very beginning. I've got to hand it to you. Of course, I've looked into the business end of a revolver before, and what I always do is...
I thought...
I have him, Watson. Struck him with my pistol. You hurt?
No, it's nothing. It was just a mere scratch. Look down there, Holmes. Through the trap door, beneath this room, there's machinery, papers, and bottles. Stacks of money there.
Yes, Watson. A printing press. This is a counterfeiter's outfit.
Just a moment. John is trying to speak. There's blood pouring over his face. He's trying to speak.
That's stuff down here. Oh, my head. That belonged to the greatest counterfeiter London ever saw, to Roger Prescott. No living man could tell a Prescott note from a Bank of England.
Prescott, the man you killed in the gambling duel.
Yes. Let's make a deal. Those bundles of money. Prescott made them. They're perfect. Fit to pass anywhere. Worth a fortune. Take them, take them. Let me beat it.
Not a bit of it. We're turning you over to Scotland Yard.
I was the only one who knew where Prescott made the notes. Oh, my head. I had to get Nathan Garideb out. That crazy bug hunter with a queer name living here on top of this, never knowing it. Dreaming of all the money in the world. When it was right beneath the dirty floorboards he walked on all night. Take the money. Let me go, please. I've done nothing, please.
Aside from a charge of attempted murder, sir, I'm quite sure that Scotland Yard has a formidable list of other subjects to discuss with you. Please give the Yard a call, Watson.
Yes, sir.
Tell them we have our prisoner, John Garideb of Chicago. There's some doubt as to their familiarity with the name. And tell them the name of his captor, Sherlock Holmes of Baker Street. About the impact of that name, there's no doubt at all.
Well, Dr. Watson, what became of Nathan Garideb?
Well, Mr. Harris, he never got over the shock of his broken dreams. When his castle in the air tumbled down, it buried him beneath the ruins. He was last heard of at a nursing home in Brixton.
And Killer Evans, doctor?
Well, the bird was returned to his roost at the penitentiary.
I'm sure, doctor, you've an equally thrilling adventure planned for us next week.
A breathtaking adventure it is indeed, Mr. Harris. I have given it the title, The Adventure of the Grey Pasha. It concerns a Derby favorite, a broken roof, and a trail of peculiar footprints.
The makers of Clippercraft Clothes and more than 1,200 stores from coast to coast have brought you another in the new series of broadcasts featuring the world's most famous detective, Sherlock Holmes.
Our stories are based upon the character Sherlock Holmes, created by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. And the program is produced and directed by Basil Lochran. Sherlock Holmes is played by John Stanley, Dr. Watson by George Spelvin. This week's story was written by Howard Merrill, with special music by Albert Berman. If you don't know your Clippercraft dealer, write Clippercraft, 200 Fifth Avenue, New York City. Be sure to listen next week to Sherlock Holmes in The Adventure of the Gray Pasha. This is Cy Harris speaking for Clippercraft Clothes. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
The most comfortable shoe sole in the world.
Welcome back. Well, a nice story. Reminded me a little bit of the Red-Headed League, except the proposal in terms of the promise of success, far above the few pounds pay for copying pages out of a encyclopedia that was used in the Red-Headed League. And this sort of story was something he also used another time. Also was a device in the Adventure of the Stockbroker's Clerk. Still, the Red-Headed League has got to be the best of those stories as far as I'm concerned. Now we turn to listener comments and feedback, and we have this from over on Podcast Alley. I found this station through TuneIn Radio while I was browsing. Love have discovered and love listening to Nero Wolfe and Sherlock Holmes stories so far. Well, thanks so much for your comment. It's truly appreciated. I should let you know, we only have 4 more weeks with John Stanley as Sherlock Holmes. We'll have a little bit more to go in the series after that. But that'll actually do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And then join us back here next Thursday for another episode of Sherlock Holmes. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.